Chapter 4, Use Your Mind Right. It's critical that you understand how to use your mind right, because that's your ticket to the next and higher level you desire. One of the first things you must learn to do with your mind is to focus it on the right thing. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." The Hebrew rendering of the phrase perfect peace is shalom shalom, which in essence means peace of prosperity. The Lord keeps him in the peace of prosperity whose mind is stayed, fixed, focused on him. Isn't this wonderful? Not only is his life peaceful, but it's peaceful in prosperity. Praise God. "Thou will keep him in perfect peace" means that when you enter into this realm of peace and prosperity, you remain in it and your life is maintained there because God keeps you there. "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Now, notice the scripture doesn't say, "whose hands and legs are stayed on thee," but "whose mind is stayed on thee." This is very instructive. He's telling us again about this instrument called the mind. If you've ever asked or wondered what you're supposed to do for the power of God to work in your behalf and keep you in peace and prosperity, you've got your answer right there. Stay your mind on the Lord. With all your mind. You may be thinking, how do I stay my mind on the Lord and remain in the peace of prosperity? Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5 tells us something very instructive in this regard. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Moses delivered this commandment from the Lord to the children of Israel, instructing them on how to love the Lord their God. Some other translations use the word strength in the place of might. For example, the New International Version reads, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength." Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Have you ever pondered this scripture and wondered how one could love the Lord with all his might or strength, since love as an emotion isn't necessarily expressed through physical energy? Thankfully, the Lord Jesus gives us the answer. In one of his teachings, he picks up the same scripture from the Old Testament and he quotes it ever so simply in response to a question that was thrown at him. "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind.'" Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 to 37. Here, the Lord Jesus introduces the word mind in place of might, letting us know that loving the Lord with all your might or strength is the same as loving him with all your mind. This implies focusing or channeling your mind in a certain direction. This is what you use your mind for. When you focus your mind, it helps to direct your energies and bring them to bear on a particular thing or activity. So Jesus shows us how to love the Lord with all our might or strength by focusing our minds on him. Let's look at a few other scriptures that throw more light on this. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 19. "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord." David, the king of Israel, had become an old man, and seeing that his days on earth were numbered, he installed his son Solomon as king, and gave him this important instruction for his life. "Set your heart and soul to seek the Lord your God." This is how you bear that commandment in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. It's by setting your heart and soul to seek the Lord. Remember, with your mind you create, recall, review, and process images for meaning, reasoning, language, and expression. So David was spot on when he said to his son, "Set your heart and soul to seek the Lord your God." See how he puts the same point to Solomon in another verse? "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. How do you seek the Lord? By setting your mind on him. You seek him not because he's missing and you are trying to find him, but because you want to focus your heart, your mind, and your affections on him. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 also says the same thing. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Those who are after the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, carnal, worldly things. But if you are after God, you will set your mind on him and godly things. You are in control of your mind. Setting your mind on something or someone presupposes that you're in control of your mind. Now, that's one of the most profound truths you'll ever read or hear about your mind. Your mind is under your control, and you've got to acknowledge this truth, accept it, endorse it, and act like it. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 6 again, this time from the New King James Version. It says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." This means setting your mind on the ordinary plane of life, on fleshy, worldly things produces death. But if it's peace you want, then be spiritually minded. In other words, when you focus your mind on spiritual things, you'll have life and peace. Your spirit has the capacity to control your mind. Paul lets us understand that we can control our minds from our spirits. You can decide that you want to set your mind on the things of God and control your spiritual senses to conform to that decision. That decision is made by your spirit with his instrument of the soul, the seat of your mind, will, and emotions. He decides what he wants to think about and sets his mind on it and starts thinking about it. Set your mind on the Word. Now you ask, how do I set my mind on the Lord and on spiritual things? You do that by setting your mind on the Word of God. The Word shows you what spiritual things are and delivers them to you. That's because God's Word is light, John chapter 1, verse 1 and John chapter 1, verse 5. And light defines and reveals, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. If you turned off all the lights in the room you are in right now, you won't be able to see anything with your natural eyes, because they require light to see. Your spiritual eyes also need God's light, his Word, to show you what spiritual things from him are. When I talk about setting your mind on spiritual things, I'm not referring to every spiritual thing, because Satan and his demons are spirits, and they also have their spiritual things. There are people who are spiritually minded in that negative direction, but that's not what God wants you to do. The context here is spiritual things toward God. So, Paul is not just telling you to be spiritually minded, but to be spiritually minded toward God.